Chapter 27, Conflicts and Victory. Having become fully satisfied that my husband would not recover from his protracted sickness while remaining inactive, and that the time had fully come for me to go forth and bear my testimony to the people, I decided to make a tour in northern Michigan with my husband in his extremely feeble condition in the severest cold of winter. It required no small degree of moral courage and faith in God to bring my mind to the decision to risk so much, but I knew that I had a work to do, and it seemed to me that Satan was determined to keep me from it. To remain longer from the field seemed to me worse than death, and should we move out, we could but perish. So on the 19th of December, 1866, we left Battle Creek in a snowstorm for Wright, Michigan. My husband stood the journey of 90 miles much better than I feared, and seemed quite as well when we reached the home of Brother E.H. Root as when we left Battle Creek. We were kindly received by this dear family and as tenderly cared for as Christian parents can care for invalid children. Labors at Wright, Michigan. Here commenced our first effective labors since my husband's death. Here he began to labor as in former years, though in much weakness. He would speak 30 or 40 minutes in the forenoon of the Sabbath and on first day, while I would occupy the rest of the time and then speak in the afternoon of each day, about an hour and a half each time. We were listened to with great interest. I saw that my husband was growing stronger, clearer in mind, and more connected in his discourses, and when on one occasion he spoke 1 hour with clearness and power, with the burden of the work upon him as before his sickness, my feelings of gratitude were beyond expression. My labors at Wright were very wearing. I had much care of my husband by day and sometimes in the night. I gave him baths and took him out to ride, and twice a day, cold, stormy, or pleasant, walked out with him. I used the pen while he dictated his reports for the review, and also wrote many letters in addition to personal testimonies and most of the testimony for the church, number 11, at Greenville, Michigan. January 29, 1867, we left Wright and rode to Greenville, a distance of 40 miles. It was a severely cold day, and we were glad to find a shelter from the cold and storm at Brother A.W. Maynard's. This dear family welcomed us to their hearts and to their home. We remained in this vicinity 6 weeks, laboring with the churches at Greenville and Orleans, and making Brother Maynard's hospitable home our headquarters. The Lord gave me freedom in speaking to the people. In every effort made, I realized His sustaining power, and as I became fully convinced that I had a testimony for the people which I could bear to them in connection with the labors of my husband, my faith was strengthened that he would yet be raised to health to labor with acceptance in the cause and work of God. As he ventured forth, trusting in God, regardless of his feebleness, he gained in strength and improved with every effort. Visit to Battle Creek. March 1867, it was decided that we should return to Battle Creek and there remain while the roads were in a muddy, broken-up condition, and I should there complete testimony number 12. My husband was very anxious to see his brethren at Battle Creek and speak to them and rejoice with them in the work which God was doing for him. In a few days, we found ourselves again at Battle Creek after an absence about 3 months. On the Sabbath, March 16, my husband spoke with clearness and power, and I also bore my testimony with usual freedom. I came home to Battle Creek like a weary child who needed comforting words and encouragement, but on our return we met reports having no foundation in truth. We were humbled into the very dust and distressed beyond expression. In this state of things, we journeyed to fill an appointment at Monterey. On the journey, I tried to explain to myself why it was our brethren did not understand in regard to our work. I had felt quite sure that when we should meet them, they would know what spirit we are of, and that the Spirit of God in them would answer to the same in us, His humble servants, and that there would be union of feeling and sentiment. Instead of this, we were distrusted and suspiciously watched, which was a cause of the greatest perplexity I ever experienced. Laying hold on God. As I was thus thinking, a portion of the vision given me at Rochester, New York, December 25, 1865, came like a flash of lightning to my mind, and I immediately related it to my husband. I was shown a cluster of trees standing near together, forming a circle. Running up over these trees was a vine which covered them at the top and rested upon them, forming an arbor. Soon I saw the trees swaying to and fro as though moved by a powerful wind. One branch after another of the vine was shaken from its support until the vine was shaken loose from the trees, except a few tendrils which were left clinging to the lower branches. A person then came up and severed the remaining clinging tendrils of the vine, and it lay prostrated upon the earth. Many passed and looked pityingly upon it, and I waited anxiously for a friendly hand to raise it, but no help was offered. I inquired why no hand raised the vine. Presently I saw an angel come to the apparently deserted vine. He spread out his arms and placed them beneath the vine and raised it so that it stood upright, saying, "Stand toward heaven, and let thy tendrils entwine about God. Thou art shaken from human support. Thou canst stand in the strength of God alone and flourish without it. Lean upon God alone, and thou shalt never lean in vain or be shaken therefrom." As I saw the neglected vine cared for, I felt inexpressible relief amounting to joy. I turned to the angel and inquired what these things meant. Said he, "Thou art this vine, all this thou wilt experience, and then when these things occur, thou shalt fully understand the figure of the vine. God will be to thee a present help in time of trouble." From this time I was settled as to my duty, and never more free in bearing my testimony to the people. After we returned from Monterey to Battle Creek, I felt it my duty to move forward in the strength of God and free myself from the suspicions and reports circulated to our injury. I bore my testimony and related things which had been shown me in the past history of some present, warning them of their dangers and reproving their wrong course of action. I stated that I had been placed in most disagreeable positions. When families and individuals were brought before me in vision, it was frequently the case that what was shown me in relation to them was of a private nature, reproving secret sins. I have labored with some for months in regard to wrongs of which others knew nothing. As my brethren saw these persons sad and hear them express doubts in regard to their acceptance with God, also feelings of despondency, they have cast censure upon me, as though I was to blame for their being in trial. Those who thus censured me were entirely ignorant of what they were talking about. I protested against persons sitting as inquisitors upon my course of action. It has been the disagreeable work assigned me to reprove private sins. Were I, in order to prevent suspicions and jealousy, to give a full explanation of my course and make public that which should be kept private, I should sin against God and wrong the individuals. I have to keep private reproofs of private wrongs to myself, locked in my own breast. Let others judge as they may, I will never betray the confidence reposed in me by the erring and repentant, or reveal to others that which should only be brought before the ones that are guilty. I told those assembled that they must take their hands off and leave me free to act in the fear of God.